There's a call going out across the land in every nation. A call to those who swear allegiance to the cross of Christ. A call to true humility, to live our lives responsibly, to deepen our devotion to the cross at any price. Let us then be sober, moving only in the Spirit, as aliens and strangers in a hostile foreign land. The message we're proclaiming is repentance and forgiveness, the offer of salvation to the dying race of man. To love the Lord your God is the heartbeat of our mission, the stream from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. As a candle is consumed by the passion of the flame, spilling light unsparingly throughout a darkened room, let us burn to know him deeper than our service burning bright. We'll radiate our passion and burn with holy light. To love the Lord your God is the heartbeat of our mission, the stream from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. To love the Lord your God is the heartbeat of our mission, the stream from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name.
Take your Bible and go to Proverbs 13, would you please? Proverbs chapter number 13. Good to see you all. I want to speak to you about a subject tonight that we toss this scripture around a little bit, but I want you to take some time with me and study it and analyze it. Proverbs chapter 13. And would you also pick up Acts chapter number 7? Acts chapter number 7, please. So Proverbs 13 and Acts chapter number 7. When I give you this scripture, you're going to say, oh, I already know all about this, but stay with me just a little bit. Look at Proverbs 13. You're holding your place in Acts chapter 7. Notice verse number 12, please. Verse number 12. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart what? Say it.
Sick.
Say it again. What?
Sick.
So hope, when it's deferred, it maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Let me ask you a question. You ever hear anybody say, hope deferred maketh the heart sick? Do you ever ponder what that's saying and what that's meaning? Hope is this, and listen carefully. Hope is the expectation of something good. Do you have some hope tonight?
Yes, sir.
Are you expecting something good?
Amen.
What I'm saying is, hope is when we believe that God still has something good for us coming.
Right.
It's the expectation of hope, is that something good in the future's come. But here's what the book says. Hope, the expectation of something good, when it's deferred, when it's delayed, when it's postponed, when it's not in our time frame, can make the heart what? Say it.
Sick.
Now, the biblical heart often, in the Bible, a biblical heart is often associated with our minds. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, sir.
And what he says there is hope. When we have the expectation of something good, and that's delayed beyond the time frame that we think it should come in, what it can do is it can make our minds sick. We can go through some mental gymnastics. We can go up and down a little bit. For example, let's say that your hope tonight, your expectation is for someone's salvation. But they've not got saved yet. And the longer it's deferred, the longer it's delayed, the more possibility that our minds can get anxious. That our minds can even begin to doubt whether that person's going to get saved. And when our minds doubt, we can stop praying in the hope and expectation. Let me ask you something here tonight. Anybody in here, is there any men in here that look forward to getting married?
Yes. Ought to be.
Look at me. Is there a few men in here looking forward to the hope of someday getting married? Give me one. Raise your hand. Somebody that has the hope. Right back there, brother? That was pretty quick. What's your name? Huh? Nick. You praying for a wife, Nick? How old are you, brother? 24. And you're praying for a wife. He that findeth a wife. Isn't it amazing how men know that one? So, Nick, you're hoping for a spouse, huh?
Yes.
Has it been deferred a little bit?
Come on. Come on, Brother Pichardo.
Brother Nick, are you in a delayed period of time?
Come on.
Talk to me a little bit. You're just smiling to me, brother.
They're sitting in front of them.
Nick, I'm talking to you, brother. You there? What's that? You're holding your peace. Good. That's probably a wise thing to do, Brother Nick. Are you studying? Do you work? Are you a bum? What do you do? You work for the college here. Wow, so you're smart, huh? Are you? I mean, I'm just asking. Do you teach? Do you? Good. You work for the college. And you're praying for a wife.
Look to your right.
How long have you been praying for a wife? Since you've been about 12 or 13? You know, here's the thing. When something we hope for, when something is we expect that's good, when it's deferred or when it's delayed, man, it can make our minds really sick. Nick, is your mind sick? Brother Nick, are you a little anxious or in panic?
Keep asking questions, you will be.
Nick, I'll come back to you in a minute, brother. I want you to meditate a little bit on this scripture. Look, here's the deal. When a man is a provider for a house and he loses his job, and he hopes for another job, and that pressure comes on, the longer that hope, that new job, is deferred, the greater the pressure and the stress. And sometimes God has a reason for that, and it's not all bad. There's a process that can happen. Hope deferred maketh the heart what? Say it.
Sick.
Anxious. Doubting once in a while. A little panic. But look at the next part of the verse. It says, when the desire cometh, it's a what? Say it, everybody. A what? A tree of life. There's about 6 or 7, 8 times in the Bible that a tree of life is mentioned, and it's referred to in such a way that you would think of it this. When that desire finally comes, it's a tree of life, like it's It's healing. It's energy. It's momentum again. Hope, when it's deferred, can cause our minds to get sick in that we can lose our momentum.
Yes, sir.
Look at the words again. It says, hope, when it's deferred, maketh the heart, what? Say it, everybody. Sick. But when the desire cometh. So hope and desire are the same thing. You still with me or not?
Yes.
It says, hope, deferred, maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh. It's a tree of life. So hope and desire are the same thing. Desire is something that's longed for, something that's seemingly missing yet. And God puts in us sometimes a desire, but then he defers it in the expectation of our timing. It could be something that needs to be fixed. Brother, you're thinking about getting married. There might be someone in here that's hoping that their marriage gets fixed. Hoping that their marriage gets better. Hope is something we use when we're praying for somebody that is having poor health or coming into surgery. We pray with the expectation that the surgery goes well.
Amen.
We hope. Sometimes these healings are deferred and it can make us wonder what's going to happen next. And please look up here. Sometimes the heart getting sick can be confusion.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes, if you would, when hope, something good that's expected, is deferred and put off and doesn't come in our time frame, it can make us wonder if it's ever going to come at all. I want to say this. Sometimes when hope is deferred, people can give up.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes God defers for a reason. You say, well, it's probably we're not doing something right if God's deferring it. Look at Acts chapter 7. Everybody all right tonight?
Amen.
Acts chapter number 7. And watch this little sequence. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Look at Acts chapter number 7. And notice verse number 22. Verse number 22. The Bible says this in verse number 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And notice what it says about Moses. He was mighty. Mighty is a word that means powerful in words and in deeds. The actions of Moses, while he was growing up training as an Egyptian, evidently he did some mighty things. He was mighty in deeds. And notice he was mighty in words. You know what's interesting about that? Wasn't it Moses that when he goes before the Lord later, says that he can't talk, he can't speak very well? Well, the Bible says here as an Egyptian, he was mighty in words and mighty in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, watch, it came into his heart. Now that it is real important because it is a desire. It's a hope. What do you mean? It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So he's living like an Egyptian, but at 40 years old, please listen to me, the book of Hebrews says he decided no longer to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He decided he was done being Egyptian and that he was going to go with what came into his heart, the it. And the it was in verse number 25, look at it, the it. For he supposed his brethren, the Israelites, would have understood how that God by his hand would what? Say the word. Say it.
Deliver.
Everybody say it again. What?
Deliver.
So what came into his heart that was that he was supposed to deliver the Israelites from their bondage, from their slavery. Look at verse 25 again. For he supposed his brethren, the Israelites, would have understood how that God by his hand, by the leadership of Moses, would deliver them. But they understood not. So it, in verse number 23, that came into his heart was to go and deliver the Israelites. How old was he when that came into his heart? Talk to me. 40 years old. Well, let me ask you a question. What did he do for the next 40 years? Talk to me. What did he do for the next 40 years? He went to Mount Sinai, and he wants sheep for 40 years. Would you agree with this? There's a good possibility his hope was deferred. What do you mean? A third of his life he spent waiting. With it in his heart. What was the it? The it was that he would deliver the Israelites from their bondage. And he had to wait a third of his life. But listen to me, God wasn't done with him. His best years were yet to come. Hey, brother, I think Moses is still doing pretty good right now. Didn't he show up and have a little conversation with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration? Don't count Moses out yet. He's not done yet. But what came into his heart at 40 years old was he would deliver the children of Israel. But for some reason, God delayed it for another 40 years. Nick, how old are you? 24? Look, by 64, it could happen, brother. Yeah. Well, why didn't God just do it right away? The timing wasn't right. Why? Well, there were some things that had to happen. In fact, the Bible says that Moses, when he supposed that his brothers would have understood that God by his hand would deliver them, the next thing that happened was seeing an Egyptian doing wrong to an Israelite, he killed that Egyptian, buried him in the sand. When he comes back the next day, he sees two Israelites striving against each other. And they said to him, "Who made thee a ruler of a judge over us?" And Pharaoh found out and came after Moses, and Moses fled. Moses was a man mighty in words and deeds as an Egyptian. He kills an Egyptian defending one of his brothers, flees to what we call the backside of the desert. But God was using that 40 years to make some things happen. Do you know, our delays does not mean God's not working. Our expectation does not mean God's not doing something. Well, why would God wait? Because time to him is not like time to us. Come on, you still with me?
Yes, sir.
And some things are going on with Moses and back in Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 2 real quick. Stay right with me. Everybody still all right? You say, I haven't seen the message yet. Stay with me. Exodus chapter number 2. You got anything right now that's hope that's been deferred a little bit in your life? I want you just for a moment, we're turning to Exodus chapter 2. Just for a moment, I want you to grab onto something in your mind that you have a hope. Like it could be a ministry that you long for. Something you've been waiting for. Something that you believe is in your heart. It could be a job opportunity. It could be, you know, finishing college. It could be salvation for someone. It could be something that needs to be fixed. There's no doubt that some of you must be going through a little bit with your building program.
Yes, sir.
Like our hope's been deferred. Brother, I want to tell you something. You're not out of God's will.
That's right. Amen.
Don't for a minute think that something's been messed up and somebody made a mistake somewhere.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You don't know. Look, God put this hope in you a long time ago. You say, oh, it's been a long time. Look up here. Look at me. 10 years. Big deal. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
10 years. Big deal. Only 10 years? Oh, but 10 years, long time. Depends on how you look at it. Look, I've been at our church since 1980. That's not that long. You say, let me do the math. Let's see. That's over 3 decades. Look at me. So what? What, do you want a medal? So I've been serving our Lord at our church for 30-some years. Look at me, big deal.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, big deal. We are unprofitable servants. We are doing that which is our duty to do, and nobody's being martyred. Nobody's burning at the stake. Our suffering is not that bad. Come on, you still with me? You say you're being a little sarcastic. I'm saying 10 years, big deal.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we've given and given and given and given and given. Stop being negative about it. God's still doing something. Yeah, but you don't know what it's like. How do you know I don't know what it's like? There's a few things that can happen in 35 years in a ministry.
Yes, sir.
You still with me or not?
Yes, sir.
Don't go around being negative about, well, we've been at it 10 years and it's not there yet. Look up here. Big deal. I hope you're not murmuring about this. I hope you're not complaining about this. I hope your mind's not sick about this. You still with me or not?
Yes, sir.
It got quiet in here. You know why? Because some people think, oh, 10 years, boy, we just been, you know, sacrificing. What a privilege.
Amen.
What an opportunity. At least you're not burning at the stake somewhere.
Yes.
At least your children are not burning at the stake somewhere.
Yes, sir.
We're just saying we're going to finish this thing. But so hope's been deferred a little bit. You know, God's not looking and saying, oops. It's been a little longer than I thought. God knew when you entered into this everything that would happen.
Amen.
Come on, you still with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying, don't murmur about something that's not a big martyrdom. Look at me. Don't go out here and think that, oh, you know, something went wrong. Something's just still going right. You see the gray hair? You see the book? What do you think about Moses out there for 40 years with it in his heart, wondering if it's ever going to come about? Please look up here. You say, well, he knew. No, he didn't. The bush hadn't burned yet. God hadn't even spoke to him yet. It had been in his heart. I'm not scolding you. I'm saying let's grow up and have a mature attitude a little bit.
Amen.
And let's not think 10 years is a long time to wait for something to happen. I know you've been working. I know you've been serving. I know you've been giving. But don't let your heart sickness demotivate you. Let's see, 10 years. 10 years. Oh, what a long time. Really? 10 years. 10 years is not very long.
Amen.
To stay at something. At least you got a building up. You know what you've done in 10 years? Grown. Matured.
Amen.
Prayed. Seems God's miracles. And whatever you do, don't lose your excitement because it's been just 10 years. Why are you all so quiet? I'll tell you what, 10 years can make you all like, well, I'm not sure it's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to get through it. And you got a couple people saying, yeah, we can. But some of you are saying, I don't know, is this going to happen? They keep promising us. Look up here. That's heart sickness. That's up and down. That's hope fading. Wait till that desire comes. They'll be starting to shout around here again. Wait till I come 1 year and you're meeting in the auditorium. And then you know what you're going to say? Oh, I knew it all the time. I knew we could do it. You know what's interesting? The ones who murmur are the ones that are going to say, I knew we could do it. Sometimes God defers hope a little bit and allows us to get our minds just a little bit, look at me, sick, so we depend more on him.
Amen.
But while he's doing all this, Moses had it came into his heart that he would deliver. And God's doing something behind the scenes that Moses couldn't see. And I want to tell you something. God's doing something behind the scenes that you and I can't see yet.
That's right. Amen.
We'll see it later.
Yes, sir.
Have I said something? Like it's like there's a big elephant in the room tonight. And I'm not allowed to talk about something that's deferred.
You're okay.
Like this. Look up here. Like, let's talk about the building, but let's not talk about how long it's been. Don't tell me that doesn't cross your mind once in a while. Come on, look at me and smile a little bit. Oh, here we go into another building series next week. We ought to not dance around this. We ought to look and say, everything's still all right. There's still miracles that have happened. Look, I remember when you were shouting when they gave you the permission to build the building. I remember when you found a place to move the dirt to. Come on, wasn't that a miracle?
Yeah. Amen.
I remember Pastor Joe calling me and said, God's been working some miracles. We didn't have a place to put the dirt, and God worked it out.
Amen.
I remember when, wasn't that something about a historical building or something that had to be moved? And
yes.
Wasn't there a building that had to be moved or something like that? Look, I'm old enough, I can't even remember where you were at 10 years ago. But I just remember there's all kind of shouting about miracles that God has done. Well, God has done a lot of miracles.
That's right.
And he's not done doing miracles yet. And maybe the deferment is to allow someone else to get in and get involved.
Amen.
I mean, who knows what it's all about? But if you're in God's will, don't get sick in your mind.
Amen.
While we wait past our expectations. You say, well, but hey, I wonder if anybody left the church because their hearts got too sick. You see, I can say that because I don't know if anybody has, but I speculate that somebody has. Look at me. Because their hope was deferred way too long. We little humans got a little time clocks in our heads. And if it doesn't happen in the way we think it should, we get all anxious. I wonder if anybody's even got angry. You promised me this. Look up here. We said, as humans, here's what we're planning on. Which means nothing. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? Nick, what have you been planning on? You know what you've been planning on? You know what that means? Nothing. Nick, do you have a candidate yet?
She's sitting next to him.
Is there a candidate? Talk to me. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Where? Oh, sister. Are you, sister, are you sure? I mean, have you proposed yet, Nick?
No, sir.
No? Oh, there's still hope. There's still hope. Oh, God, help in this situation. We all right? You're laughing. We're okay, right?
We're good.
What's your name, sister? Hannah. Nick's not ready. Hannah, look at me. Look at me. Look into my beady little eyes. He's not ready yet. Believe me. Right, Nick? You haven't proposed yet. Good. I'm sure glad you came to church tonight, Nick.
Wonder if he is.
and listen to my counsel. Give this boy some time to incubate. It's still cooking on the inside. Like right up here, he's coming, but he needs a little bit more time. Do you agree? What? Huh? You don't want to embarrass him, do you? Nick, you're not the best looking guy going. Come on, would you agree? Is it okay to say that, Joseph? I mean, come on. I know y'all don't say that around here, but I have to be real. I have to be honest. Yeah, I got to keep it real. I mean, I don't even have my glasses on, but I got to tell you.
Oh, my soul.
Hannah, it's a good thing love is blind. You know what I mean? I'm serious now. Now, look, I'll tell you why. Because, look up here. Moses wasn't ready when it came into his heart. He wasn't ready. He thought he was ready, and he thought he would go deliver them right then. Come on, is that right? He supposed that they would have understood that he was going to deliver them. You know when he thought he was going to deliver them? Now.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Look up here. He was a man mighty in words and deeds and always made things happen. But you can't make things happen when it's not God's timing.
That's right. Amen.
And sometimes there's preparation that needs to happen. What do you mean, what kind of preparation? Well, look at Exodus 2. Brother Steve, am I messing anything up tonight? I hope I'm not. About Nick especially. I know I got that one right. Exodus 2, look at this. So watch Exodus chapter 2. Notice verse 11. And here's the story. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Let me ask you a question. How old is he right there? 40. He went out unto his brethren, the Israelites, looked on their burns, he looked on their slavery, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Look at verse 12. He looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, by the way, everybody knew who he was. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he looked this way and he looked that way. When he saw there was no man, he killed an Egyptian. Hit him in the sand. Please listen. Gunpowder wasn't invented, so he didn't pull out a gun and kill a guy. He killed him, maybe with a dagger, I don't know, but please listen, when you kill a guy or train to kill a guy, there's a lot of physical force involved in taking a man's life. And Moses was aggressive, and I know he didn't kill him with a gun, so however he killed this guy, it took a greater amount of aggression, and then he hit him in the sand and thought he had gotten away with it. But the Bible says this, the Israelites that he supposed would have understood, in verse number 14 and 15, you'll see that they said, "Will you kill us as thou killed the Egyptian?" And Moses feared. Verse 15, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled. So in order for Moses to save his own life, he took off. Look up here. He took off going right into God's will.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, he's on the backside of the desert. And boy, he just went out and had to. You know what he did on the backside of the desert? He learned some things. He got trained. As an Egyptian, mighty in words and deeds, he wasn't ready to pastor the church in the wilderness yet. I'm going to say it again. As an Egyptian, in mighty in words and deed, he wasn't ready to pastor the church in the wilderness yet. God had to prepare him. Amen. Well, the Bible says this, if you'll read down further in 17, 18, 19, 20, look at it real quick. And verse 21 says, Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave him Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son. And then verse number 23, look at it. And it came to pass in process of time. Would you underline that little phrase, process of time? That the king of Egypt died. The man that was Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who was seeking after Moses, died. And now we're at 80 years old, 40 years later, and the bush burns and telling Moses it's time now. It's time now to go in, and what was in his heart for that 40 years, with hope deferred, it was time for him now to enact what God had put in his heart. Well, how do you know that? Well, at 40, at 80 years old, the bush burned, and God spoke out of the bush that was not consumed and told Moses to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground.
That's right.
And God now was saying this, look up here, and God was now saying, it's time. What I put in your heart 40 years ago, 40 years later, now it's time. Was Moses' hope deferred a little bit? I wonder if Moses ever contemplated what was in his heart. Look at Numbers 12 real quick. Numbers 12. Everybody still good tonight? Sure. Stay with me. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart what, everybody? Sick. But when the desire cometh, it's like a what? A tree of life. It's momentum again. And sometimes when hope is deferred, you can lose momentum a little bit. You can lose sometimes even that desire a little bit. But God has a way, and I want to say this to you. When we preach and teach the concept of hope deferred maketh the heart sick, look how we teach it. It's the right way to teach it. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So we say, Lord, please, please, Lord, We seek and we seek and we knock and we knock and we ask and we ask. Lord, please help it to happen. Like help that soul to get saved or help for that healing or help for that promotion. Or Lord, like Nick has prayed, oh God, please bring me a wife. And Hannah's the candidate. Are you sure? How long have you known this guy, Hannah? Talk to me.
6 years.
Hannah, I don't. Hannah, I don't trust him. 6 years. Is he telling you what to say? 6 years. Okay, 6 years is pretty good. Let's see. He's 24, so he was 18. Is that right? Was he 18 when you noticed him? Talk to me, Anna. It's okay, I give you permission to talk. Was he 18? You were 19.
Bad math.
You were 19. An elderly man. God's been working on Nick in his heart to make him a better future husband.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? Is he getting any better at all? Or is he? You sure? Are you just making it up to make him look good, Hannah? Who else knows Nick here? You know Nick? Are you an honest man? Genuine? Is Nick growing at all?
Yes.
Is he? What's he matured in? Come on.
I haven't known him for that long.
Oh, gee, let me get somebody else. I need some. Come on, talk to me now. You say, what are you doing? I'm going to show you in a moment. Give me somebody that really knows him, that can be honest and genuine and open with me. Who? You? They keep pointing
Daniel,
to you.
Daniel Esposito.
Who are you?
George.
And why do they point to you? You've known him for a long time. I'm just being honest. Will you be real with me? I mean, like, even if it's negative?
Yes.
Pastor, will he be real with me?
George will.
George will be.
Nick
would. Then I found the right guy. Should we warn Hannah? Not yet. What do you mean not yet? Well, we're supposed to warn her later? Like on the day, on her wedding day? Like, whoa. George, are you going to? I don't understand this. Not yet. What kind of answer is that? We'll wait a little while, and then we'll warn her. George, I'm not sure I want to ask you any more questions, brother. I'm serious. I thought I was going to get truth serum here, you know? Not yet. I'm going to write that one down. Has Nick matured? I mean, he has. In what area? Leadership. Good. Good. What else?
Ministry?
Showed himself faithful or just a better leader or? He's very friendly with everybody except for people, did you say? Did I hear that wrong? love for people. Okay, good. I thought you said he's very friendly with everybody except for people, and I was thinking, what, does he love dogs? Or, I mean, what? I just didn't hear you right. I'm serious. Look at Numbers 12. And notice something, verse number 3. Look at Numbers 12 in parentheses. God writes something to us about Moses. And it says this in verse number 3. Now the man Moses was very, what, everybody? Say it.
Me.
Say it again, what?
Me.
Notice, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. You know what God says right there? Moses is the number one meek guy on the earth. Is that what it says to you?
Yes.
Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Meekness is not weakness. Would you agree, George?
Yes, sir.
Meekness is gentleness, patience, kindness. Meekness is not getting irritated very easily. Nick, do you get irritated? Hannah, has he ever been irritated? Hannah, has he? Does he have a secret temper? Hannah. Some guys that look like they're quiet, behind the scenes, they're werewolves. But we're not going to tell you yet, Hannah. Not yet. We're going to wait. The man meek, Moses, was very meek. Please listen to me. Do you think Moses was meek when he killed the Egyptian?
No.
You know what meekness allows you to do? Meekness allows you to be attacked by church members and you don't retaliate. Moses pastored the church in the wilderness. And do you remember how the church in the wilderness treated him? Come on, talk to me. Remember how the church in the wilderness treated Moses? Attacked him, complained, murmured. And every time they attacked him, you know what he did? He fell on his face for him and prayed for him. He was a meek man. Look up here. After 40 years of waiting and being trained and watching sheep, God formed him into a meek man and the kind of pastor that could lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Meekness is a great attribute for a pastor.
Amen.
I'm saying that while God was waiting for Pharaoh to die, he was also working on Moses' character. Have you ever thought about this? 10 years of waiting for this building. Did you ever think God was working on the character of the church?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me a little bit. What do you mean the character of the church? The maturity of the church.
Yes,
some of you, when this started, you were teenagers, and now you're young adults. Come on, is that right?
Yes, sir.
George, you've been around here for a little while? God's been waiting for you to mature. But not just you, your generation.
Yes,
How old are you, George?
21.
Wow. Were you here when you were 11? When you're 4. So you watched this thing go on since preteen, now through teenagers, and now at 21. Now you can participate more than when you're 11.
Yep.
And God's given you a chance to be a part of this offering coming up.
Amen.
Come on, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Maybe God was waiting for you so you could give, George. Because God's not been in a delay. I'm going to say it again. God's not been in a delay. God's hope is not delayed. It's not deferred. God's not sick tonight in his mind about all this. You still with me or not?
Sir.
God's not lost his motivation for what you're going to be doing. But we as humans sometimes can lose our motivation and convince each other that, well, maybe it's just not going to happen. It's still going to happen. It's just hope. Look up here. It's just hope that's deferred a little bit. It's just hope that's delayed a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with praying, Lord, please, we need to finish this, or we need to do this, or we're asking for this. Importunity is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with keeping to ask and ask and ask and knock and knock and knock. Would you agree with that? But let me show you one other scripture. I'm going to ask you to consider something tonight. Look at Romans 15. Hannah, you need this, sister. Hannah, I'm going to give you a scripture to memorize. Look at Romans 15. So look at Romans 15, and here's what it says in verse number 13. Romans 15, 13. Hannah, thanks for being a good sport tonight. Don't send me any bad emails, okay? I'll know where it came from. I'm just kidding, kind of. Romans 15. Now look at verse 13. Now the God of what? Say it.
Hope.
The God of hope. You see, we talk about faith a lot.
Yes.
Come on, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Faith, hope, and charity. You know what, as Baptists we do? We talk about faith a lot. We talk about charity a lot. But one of the things that we need to speak about just a little bit more is the word hope. Hope is what got you up this morning with the expectation of something good happening today.
Yes, sir.
Hope is what brought you to church with the idea that something good was going to go on at church tonight.
Yes.
What happens to the depressed person, and I've been depressed before, is you begin to lose hope. And it changes your outlook on everything. When hope is deferred sometimes, and you begin to lose hope a little bit, it can be replaced with fear. And fear hath torments. You still with me? But look what it says, now the God of all of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that God can increase our faith?
Yes.
Do you believe that God can increase our charity?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever prayed that God would increase your hope through the power of the Holy Ghost? Because here's what it says. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, why does he say believing? Well, believing is faith, and faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. That ye may abound in hope, that God would increase our hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever asked God, I know you pray and say, Lord, I need the power of the Holy Ghost in wisdom, and I need the power of the Holy Ghost to maybe in charity. But you ever asked and said, Lord, I need the power of the Holy Ghost to give me more hope. Why? Please listen. Hope deferred maketh the heart what?
Sick.
Hope deferred, say it with me. Hope deferred maketh the heart what?
Sick.
It makes it sick. It can cause us to discourage and doubt and wonder and murmur and lose momentum. So we say, Lord, please, let it come, let it come, let it come. And when it doesn't come, our minds can get a little bit sicker if we're not careful. We know when the desire finally comes, it's a tree of life, but please listen to me. So here's hope over here. We know when it's deferred, it makes the heart what?
Sick.
But while we're waiting, what if God gave us more hope? Would greater hope cause us to be more content in the waiting? And not have heart sickness.
Yep.
What do you mean? Would greater hope cause me not to be as anxious? Would greater hope cause me not to doubt? Would greater hope, and God filled me with the power of God with greater hope, could greater hope help me to wait more patiently?
Amen.
While God's taking care of something? Maybe changing me. Maybe maturing me.
That's right.
Maybe making my future even better.
Yes.
Did you ever think that when you entered in with this building project that you didn't know what was going to happen to Pastor Joe? But God already knew.
Yes.
Didn't know about all these different things that were going to come up, but God already knew. But I wonder if the hope deferred would make us go back and say, God, we need a greater degree of hope, because hope is desire. And if God increases our desire, we're willing to wait more for something important.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And the greater the value of importance, the more we're willing to wait with desire for it, because it's so important that we can't do without it. Let me ask you something, Hannah. 6 years, you've been waiting for this guy to propose to you for a while? Like, is he ever going to? Have you thought about it, Hannah? Like, will he ask me? Talk to me, Hannah.
Oh, boy.
Huh? I see this. Can somebody interpret beside Nick what she's saying? I don't trust Nick. What? God's timing.
Maybe later.
Maybe later.
Not yet.
Maybe later, huh, George? I'm glad he's waited, Hannah. God's not done making him yet. I'm serious about this. I have four daughters. Two of them have got married. I told one of them, she was really interested in a guy, and I told her, wait, give him more time to grow up. He might be the right one, but give him a little bit more time to mature. It'll make marriage a lot better for you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And so she waited a couple years. She did get our permission to marry him, and they're married. And one time they've been married about 3 years, she came to me and she said, Dad, I'm glad you told me to wait. Because it wasn't him that needed to mature, it was me.
Wow.
Now, Hannah, I'm not saying you need to mature. I'm talking to you about my daughter. My daughter said it wasn't him that needed to mature, it was me. Do you know God has perfect timing with everything?
That's right. Yes, sir.
And the perfect timing was when the bush burned, now Moses was ready to go in and handle the pressure of disgruntled Jewish people.
Yep.
That were going to murmur against him, threaten him. Come on, listen to me. And God's timing was perfect.
Yes.
And what I'm saying to you is this. The timing on your building is still perfect.
Yes, sir.
You say you're just saying that. No, I'm not. I really believe that.
Yes, I do too.
The timing on your building is still perfect.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't make sense. Since when does the potter have to tell the clay what he's doing? I'll ask you that again, church. Since when does the potter have to tell the clay what he's doing?
Yeah.
And why? We're to walk by faith.
Yeah. Amen.
I hope you come into these dinner times next week with not a bunch of questions that another human can't answer. Because a lot of times, look up here, we don't know. I hope you come in and, as Brother Steve or whoever's going to present it, I hope you're not antagonistic because your hope's been deferred. I hope you're not coming in, look up here, with a sick mind because there's been a delay and you don't think there should have been one. Let me say that again. I like it when it gets quiet. See, I can say some things to you that Brother Meyer can't because I don't know how you're feeling. There could be in here somebody in here could be a very vocal, negative person about all this. And Brother Meyer could never say this, but I can because I don't know who you are. But if you're in here tonight, I want you to say something. Don't let your sickness infect the minds of others.
Amen.
Just because hope's been deferred and you're a really planned person and you think it should have happened by now, and it hasn't, look up here. Don't come in with a sick mind and infect other people with that sickness.
Amen.
Don't come in here with doubt and murmuring.
Yep.
And complaining, because nobody's purposed for it to be this long, have they? Oh, I know. Let me find a way to make it longer to make them wait. Nobody's doing that. Everybody wants to be in that building tomorrow. Come on, yes or no?
Yes.
So nobody's purposely done this. Well, why hasn't it happened yet then? Maybe God's deferred it for a reason that we don't even know yet.
Right.
Maybe he's testing some character.
There you go.
Maybe he's maturing the church.
Yes, sir.
Maybe he's going to do something however long from now that's going to really make us rejoice, because the desire has been delayed a little bit.
Yes.
And when it finally comes, what if God's power came with it in such a way that we never thought we would ever experience that? What are you saying? Tonight I'm saying this. While we are going through another period of dinner events next week and putting the next bit of money in to keep it all going, to get where we need to go, maybe over here would be good to pray, God, fill me with the power of God and fill me with hope that my attitude over here while we're waiting can be right.
Amen.
And so I'm not in this anxiety and this up and down and this doubt and this murmuring and this whatever it is. Well, I'm about ready to give up and I put all this money in and it's not even done yet. Please look up here. That's a sick mind.
Yes, sir.
That nobody else needs to hear about. What do you mean? I put this money in and it's not done yet. And they're asking for more. You're not giving it to us.
Come on.
You're giving it to the Lord as unto the Lord.
Amen.
And look what he's done for you. Yeah. Boy, I'm sure glad at year 20 Moses didn't give up. I'm sure glad at year 25, watching sheep, that Moses didn't give up. Look up here. I'm sure glad at 30 years of waiting on a rainy night, watching sheep, guarding them from predators on a mountain. I'm sure glad Moses didn't give up. I'm sure glad at 35 years of waiting that what was still in his heart evidently was still there. I'm sure glad at 39 years of waiting, Moses didn't quit. Are you still with me or not? Why? Because at 40 years, somewhere along that line, a third of his life, the bush burned. And God says, Moses, now it's time. And by the way, Moses, let me give you a token to assure you that I'm in this thing. We're going to come back, and I'm going to bring you back to this same mountain that you've been on for 40 years watching sheep. By the way, look up here. You know that mountain he watched the sheep on was the same mountain he went up to receive the Ten Commandments? You say, well, Moses decided to go back there. No, Moses was following a cloud.
Yeah.
And the cloud led him back to that same mountain and sat on top of that mountain. And Moses knew how to go up and where to go. He had been up there many times.
Yeah.
And up there was where God dealt with him and worked with him. Look up here. Up there was where his face gleaned and gleamed because he was communing with God up there while the people were waiting for him to come down. Come on, it was that same mountain he watched sheep on.
Yes, sir.
And now he was the shepherd over a million plus. And God let him get close, real close, to where when he come down, he had a veil over his face. Come on, is that right?
Yeah.
When he went back up, he took the veil off. Same mountain that he waited 40 years. Same mountain. Is that true, yes or no?
Yeah.
Was that the token? He said, I'll bring you back to this same mountain.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was worth the wait to Moses. Look up here. I wonder if it was worth the wait to Moses.
Absolutely.
I'll ask you one more time. I wonder if it was worth the wait
Absolutely.
To Moses.
Yes, sir.
So I wonder if 10 years of waiting is worth it to you.
Yes.
And when you think of the 40 years that Moses waited, you see 10 years, look up here, is no big deal.
That's right.
I know, brother. Boy, 11 to 21, 10 years to you is half your life. Right, George? You better tell Hannah before the night's over. I'm going to be worried about that driving home tonight. Why we're waiting to tell her what we need to tell her. Nick, don't rush it, brother. But I'd be careful. You're not going to get another one interested. Don't blow it. Nick, did you ever look in the mirror? The reason I say that is God gave me one. Look at me. What are you laughing about? I think you're going to do just well, Nick. Just fine, Hannah, if God's in it. Hope I haven't embarrassed you all too much. No? You're good with it? Are you simple, brother? That's a loaded question. There's nothing wrong with allowing God to work in your heart to make sure of what God's doing. And I've joked a little bit with you tonight. But praise the Lord, you have hope.
That's right.
Hope is a wonderful thing to have because it's the expectation of something good. And if God's put that desire in your heart, then waiting is not a waste of time.
Yes, sir.
Moses did not waste any time by waiting for God to mature him. Would you agree? You guys haven't wasted any time. I hope next week when Pastor presents to you what's going on, that you'll sit there with a good heart and not let hope deferred cause you to doubt and come up with some ugly questions that we don't know the answers to, because we can't see the future. Everybody all right tonight?
Sir.
Oh, Brother Fisher, I thought you were going to give us a message where we can shout. If you get more hope by the power of God and that desire is still strong, you'll be able to see this through.
That's right.
And rejoice when it happens.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I hear Pastor Joe's making some improvement.
Come on.
Is that right, Brother Joe?
Yes.
I hear he's making some improvement, starting to realize some things. Maybe God's waiting for him to be able to realize just a little bit more, to be able to rejoice with you.
Yes.
When you finally cut the ribbon.
Amen.
And enter in. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes, sir.
How much, how little, I don't know, but wouldn't it be something for God to work all this out to his glory? Sooner or later, you're going to have to write a book. Put a lot of this in there. Because a lot of the people in the country don't know what's going on. And this would be a wonderful testimony to what the Lord has done, is doing, and later is going to do. Wouldn't that be something? I'd love to read about your mom's thoughts through this. I highly respect that woman.
Yes, sir.
I always know where to find her when I come on a Thursday night. I go right back to the nursery to say hello. Because she's always there, faithful. I wonder if God's doing some things that none of us really know.
Yes, sir.
May I ask you to do something tonight? To take away any sickness we might have. Pray for the power of God and hope. But it's not just about building. It's about something you hope that can get fixed.
Yes, sir.
Or you hope for somebody's health. Or you hope for salvation. Or you hope for something in your future. Or you hope for a promotion. Or you hope for a ministry. And you hope for it.
Yes.
And while you wait, may I ask you to do something? Pray for God to empower you with more hope to make the waiting easier. Because the desire can grow and won't fade.
Amen.
For whatever it is that's important to you, God can increase your hope, which increases your desire, which makes you not want to give up.
Yes.
To finish what he's given you to do. I got some things I'm hoping for right now for the Lord. For not just for myself, but for our church, for my family, for our children. We have some hopes that we're praying for. Lord, please make it happen quick. Please, Lord, bring it. Please, importunity. Please, Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. But Lord, while we wait on your perfect will and timing, would you fill me with greater what? Say it.
Hope.
So my heart's not as what?
Sick.
Tonight, have you ever prayed for the power of God in the area of hope? Let's stand.